Turn your Bible to Psalm 145. Psalm 145, this is the first time that I've spoken for Brother Nash here. First time in the church. A lot of my churches I go to. Last week, where's that? Greensboro, North Carolina last week. Week before I was in Huntington, West Virginia. And I got to check my calendar to see where the week before that, but it's New Jersey and then New Jersey, I think. Yeah. And he texted me this morning. I told him I was speaking for you. Yep. And so I go somewhere about every week, and I take off a few weeks a year, like the last 2 weeks in December, it's Christmas, and a lot of people are not very spiritual then, and so I just take a break. And so they're looking for Santa Claus, not for Russell Anderson. And so, but I love what I'm doing. I pay my way everywhere I go, and I don't take any money. I didn't come here to take anything from you. But I come here to give you and tell you what God did through an uneducated coal miner. I tell you a little bit about my upbringing, I'm here to tell you what God did. And so, and God's no respecter of persons. You know that? You know, God loves you and I as much as he does a preacher. You know that? Huh? And he loves you as much as he loves me. And now, when we get saved up to that point, we've done nothing. We've had a free ride. See, Jesus paid for our sins. He died for us. And so now, but if we are saved, we're going to be rewarded for what we do with him. We work because we are saved. We don't work to be saved. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through the Lord Jesus Christ. And so by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is a gift of God, not of the works, lest any man should boast. And so I had never heard that now for 28 years. I grew up in the hills of Kentucky in the coal mines. I worked 5 cents a day, $2 a day, following a mule all day on that hot sun. In the hills cutting timber, sawmills, coal mines. Went into the coal mines, worked 6 years, five, six. And never had heard the gospel. My dad and mother never one time took me to church. Never one time told me about Jesus. Never one told me about heaven or hell. But I always did believe. Somehow or another, I picked it up that there's a God. But I felt that I was just as good as any other old church member that paid their, I said, that goes to church. I said, I work hard and pay my debts, and God ought to let me have my good works outweigh my bad, then I go to heaven. I guess that's the philosophy I had. I was in 7 car wrecks because I grew up in filth. And I'm ashamed to say it, but I learned to drink. I shouldn't have. But I'm also proud to say, in 1958, I took my last drink, and I haven't had a Budweiser now in 57 years, 56. I got a drink of the living water. Amen. Now, if I was here today, if I was a young person, I could write you a check, and I wouldn't have to borrow the money right now for $1 million if I had a daddy and mama took me to church on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, and I grew up in church. All those are sins. See, you reap what you sow. Now, when you get saved, I don't know how many sins that I'd have brought something to church here with me. I suppose all them are my sins in heaven. When I got saved, Jesus said, though your sins be as scarlet, they'll be white as snow. He said, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, my record used to be like that in heaven. Now it's like this, there's nothing against it. Yes. See? And a lot of times I wad it up and throw something behind my back, but here's a good verse here. Let the Lord be magnified, which have pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. I'd read that again. Let the Lord be magnified. That means you make him known. And so, and he have pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. So a lot of people says to me, well, it's easier for a camel to go through eye and needle than a rich man into heaven. They don't realize the rich man took Jesus down off the cross and put him in his grave, tomb, Joseph did. And they don't realize that Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and all of them was right. It's not wrong to have money, but it's wrong for money to have you.
Yes, sir.
I used to have 7 businesses. Started out 5 cents a day, and one day I made out that you ought to listen to this now. That's ought to encourage you or challenge you. One day I made $8.6 million. And that beats working for a living. It's amazing what God did. And so underline that, what God did, and I just go around. 19 And everything I'm saying now is impromptu. I've been with God this morning, 2 or 3 hours. And somebody needs what I'm saying because the Holy Spirit's telling me what to say. I know it because I've been waiting for it. And so I told him in 1999, I had four. Let me back up a little bit, tell you about my upbringing. There's 7 of us in a one-bedroom house in Kentucky. No electricity, no running water. But we had chickens, and we had cows. We raised our own food, vegetables, and turned it. How many know what chuck beans are? Chuck bean. A bunch of city people. How many ever milked a cow? Oh, a few have milked a cow, yeah. That's right. How many ever squirted at the cat? And so I grew up hard. Like, there's an advantage of being raised hard and poor. I'm glad I was. I'm glad I wasn't raised in a millionaire's home. And I raised 3 daughters born, and I worked them too. But right now, you can give me an acre of ground, I can feed a family of 10 or 2 acres of ground. I know how to plant vegetables. I know then how to shuck beans. You ever string beans? You know how you string them? Then you take a needle with a twine on it, not thread, and you stick through that bean, stick another, and you get I would say 5 feet, throw it over the clothesline and let those beans dry. We call them shuck beans. And then when they dry, you take them and put them in a sack, put a little pepper in them to keep the bugs out, put them in the house anywhere you want to, or cellar, or whatever you want to smoke out. And then when you want to eat them, you take them out and soak them overnight. And they come right back, just like was when you canned them. That's chuck beans, dried beans. And so, by the way, we didn't have any refrigeration. You know how we kept our meat? Smokehouse would be, the meat house would be 150 degrees. You know how we kept it? I don't know how to preserve meat. See, you don't know how to do that. If you kill something right now, if you kill something other animal, if you don't eat it right then, it won't spoil on you, right? I know how to do it. What you do is you get your chef. Boy, you learn a lot, aren't you? In the smokehouse, you have a chef about like this, and you have a 2-inch thing here. Put you 2 inches of salt in there. And then you put that ham, pork chops, when you kill a hog, put it down there, and then you cover it up with salt. Let that salt soak in. If it's 150 degrees out, you take your butcher knife, go out there and scrape that salt back, cut you off what you want, and then put the salt right back on it. Go in there, but you boil the salt out of it. You have to put it in a skillet and boil the salt out of it. And of course, it's like sea foam, it's raisin. And pour that salt water off, fix it. It's just like the day where you killed it. Aren't you? I'm glad you came, you learned a lot, huh? But with no electricity, had oil lamps, and so, then, I never owned my own house. I never had my own bedroom until I was 20, about 26. I left Kentucky and went to Michigan. I was rooming and boarding. And then in 1958, I bought me a 3-bedroom house. It had a bathroom inside. This one boy went from Kentucky, they say, up to Michigan to stay to see his brother. Been over about 10 years and came back to his daddy and said, "How's your brother?" He said, "Daddy, they're nasty." "Why?" He said, "They eat and use the bathroom in the same house." He's used to outdoor toilets, and that's what we had. I never had indoor toilets. I was 27 years old. But 1909, now, when I quit my drinking, now, and got saved in 1959, September 13th. Now, listen to this. I got saved September. The first paycheck I had, boy, the whole church needed it. I'm $150. And I gave God $15 the first week. My mother's unsaved and saw that with some of her friends. And she got the next week and told her, my son put money in the offering plate. And from $15, it's amazing what God did. And then I made a covenant with God. God made a covenant with the children of Israel. It's good to make a dollar covenant. I went to see my pastor, another pastor. Later on, it's a long story. I said, I've got a desire. After I heard Dr. John Rice and Dr. Jack Hiles and Dr. John Malone, I said, "Would you pray with me that God let me make some money?" Now, fish this day, poverty. $2 a day Now in the coal mines, when I worked in the coal mines, the school teachers back in Kentucky was making $14 a day, 60. Well, I started working in the coal mines making 18 to 22. Why should I go to college and come back and teach school for? So I didn't go to college. And so, but I went to the Bible and got knowledge, and not college of the Bible. Then in 1999, boy, I'm not even got to the scripture here. 1999, I had 457 houses and apartments paid for. I had 50 houses paid for. And I got on my knees and I said, "Dear God, I begged for years for you to show the world what you do for an uneducated coal miner." And I said, "You've done that." See, in 1999, I'd have been saved, 40 years, wasn't it? Yeah, 41. And I got on my knees and said, "Lord, you can have it all back. I'm going to give it all back to you. And now, if you open the doors, I'm just going to go around and brag what you did to an old uneducated coal miner." So here I is. And so it's amazing what he did. And God's no respecter of prayer. But wait a minute now. There's a price to pay. Let me tell you my former. I'll tell you former one. A lot of Christians started their day off wrong today. Tomorrow. See, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy might, and thy strength. And God said, "I'll have no other gods before me." And I'm going to give you this verse that I made millions of dollars out of. I'm going to tell you, I'm going to quote it for you. I'm going to let you quote it. It's real hard to learn, memorize. "I love them that love me." Can you say that? How many can say that? "I love them that love me." You know who said that? God. God said, "I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me." So who's the first person we should talk to in the morning? Should be this morning. I went and looked up. God, thank you for a bed to sleep in. Thank you for a food that I have to eat. And thank you for the safety of getting here. I do this just every morning. I wake up 2 o'clock, 12 o'clock, have to go to the bathroom that, and I run just as fast as I can to the window in Hawaii, or my home back in my, I got a condo. My wife died 3 years ago, I sold my big home on the golf course, and I live in a condo back there. I go up, I look up, and I praise God for what He did. Then for years, though, when I started out in business, and that I said, "Now I want to make some money." I went to my pastor and said, "I want to make, if God let me make some money, I want to build some churches and some missionaries and schools. Would you pray for that?" So I made a promise to God. "God, if you will let me make some money, I promise you the first 10% of every dollar I make, I'm going to give you." Jacob said that. I started giving 11%, 12%, 13%, and then 14%, 15%, gradually. And so up until 11 years later, I was giving 50%, 1970. I have not given under 50% since 1970. In 1999, I gave $11,200,000. Now, that ought to make you believe in God. I'm telling you what God did. Now, I'm not educated. I do not have an educated mind. But I know how to rise early in the morning and talk to God the first time.
Yes.
So don't make a mistake tomorrow morning. You heard this from me. If you don't set your alarm clock and get up in the morning the first 10 minutes, if you have to go to work, pray for your wife to take care of the children during the day and help her. But you go to God and thank you for a place to sleep, a bed to sleep in, a roof over your head. Amen. Think of all the millions of people over in Israel, over in all that fighting going on that don't have it. Think of all the people in Canada out of a house now, all that big fire they've got up there. And thank God. And then you say this, "Lord, this is another day." The old devil's going to don't like. You know, you hear this one. You know the devil's jealous because you're here?
Yes, sir.
He's jealous of Jesus because Jesus took you away from him. See, until we get saved, see, we belong to the devil.
Yes.
I was 28 years old, I guess 1959. Yeah, 28 years old when I got saved. And they're jealous. Now, the devil's going to do everything he can to interfere with your worship to Jesus. Understand that? See, you're here this morning, you told the devil to go back to hell where he belonged. Some of you tried to get you to stay home this morning. And don't you think he don't talk to you, because he still talks to me and reminds me of everything I ever did. See, that's important. That's a problem of young people of sowing wild oats or sinning a lot. The old devil has so much more to tempt me with than he does you. And so, Just putting God first. Didn't rise early in the morning. I love them. Proverbs 8:17. You ought to write that down and remember. And then in the morning, start tomorrow morning off right. Your first few minutes. It's like you having a date with your wife, the first date you had with her. You liked her, you want to have another date with her. If you got to spend an hour alone with her, something else, talking, you like to have an hour and a half the next day or 2 hours. And it grows to where you ask her to marry you. But it started at one date. Now, if you start meeting God in the morning and ask God to guide and lead you, God, I'm surrendering my life, my mind, my will, I'm surrendering to you. Now, you take control of my life today, and you give me the power to tell Satan to get off my back when he starts tempting me. You let the Holy Spirit guide you. And so, that's what I did to make this money. And that's a short testimony. From poverty, my book says, from the coal mines to the gold mines. Coal mines to the gold mines. It's amazing what God did, and underline that right, what God did, not me. I'd be a fool to try to take credit for something that God did. If I tried to brag on myself and tell you, boy, what a great man, I'm telling you what God made out of an uneducated coal miner. So I gave him, when I had all that paid for in 1999, I said, God, I give it back to you. I'm going to just go around and tell God, I'll just tell the world what a great God you are. And since you know respect your persons, you young people sitting in here, and even some of you middle-aged people, what do you want from God that you don't have? What do you like to have you don't have? John 14:26 said the Holy Spirit will teach you all things. So you got to get to the Bible, you see. Now, see, I never heard it until I was 28 years old. I never heard the gospel. Some of you was raised in church. Are you young? How many here are under 28? Let me see. There's a few in here. Yeah. Okay. Since you've already heard it, you ought to do a lot more for God than I did. Why can't you get more out of God? Because you got a background. I never heard it until I was 28, see? So I went around 30. I didn't even know. How many knows John 3:16? You can quote it. I didn't know that till I was about 30 years old. See how much, you got a head start. Yesterday I had the Kentucky Derby, and my sister called me from Michigan. We're from Kentucky, and told me about it a few minutes before. Your boys were in my room. And it rained them for a while, and they didn't get started. I watched it. I wouldn't have watched it at the vet. My sister hadn't called me. But the horse got a head start, and they won. I saw it, and I forgot his name now, but it doesn't matter to me. I'm a Kentucky colonel, a governor appointed. And I can go to them black ties things down there if I want to, but I don't. That crowd didn't make me. God, I don't hang around the unsaved crowd. I don't run around rich people. Most rich people are not interested in serving God. In my church, you can go back here. My people are working. I relate to the working people because I started fishing since today. I know what it is. And I stay at work 12, 14 hours a day. And I don't have to. We serve a great God. There's no reason why you can't do more for God than I did, but there's a price to pay for it. Yes. You know, this week, I'm going to tell you, even before I do it, there'll be some days this week coming. Now, next Friday, I leave going back. I stop in California to speak, and then I go on back to Michigan next Monday. That's my 85th birthday, by the way. And I like Cadillacs and Lincolns. And I start out on a mule. I don't go back to the mule no more. But, hey, you get more miles out of a gallon of oats than you can a gallon of gas. Now, you got to think that. Dr. Rye was reading his book, and he said, if you're a Christian, you're not happy. It's a sin. I'm happy. It's not my money. If it's my money, God, I want to give away that $40 million and I'm like you, though. I want to get all I can right down in here and here and here. But I like to help the poor people. I feed a lot of poor people. In Mexico City, I've got letters I gave you. I've said 40,000 people there. Here's how that church is growing fast over there. Mexico City, I told you about it, and I've got my wallet, if you don't see it, a copy of Dr. Bob Gray, Longview, Texas. He spoke there about in April 16th. He sent it to me, so about a month ago or something. And you heard Kevin Wynn and I talking the other day. And they had 15,000 Sunday morning at church, and then Sunday night they had 9,000. Thursday night they had 7,000. They baptized almost 1,000 people. He said they don't have a baptistry; they have a swimming pool. There's 6, 8, and 10 people baptizing. after the invitation. And so I had the privilege of sending the money over there. Now, here's what we do. If a much poor bus boy or girl comes to church or whatever, they get her name. What's your dad's name? Your mother? A brother. Now, here's a card. If you take this with their name on it, if you bring them all to church, we give you a whole box of groceries. We give you beans and raisins and rice next week and fruit. If you bring them, and it brings them out. We feed the poor. And I do the same thing in my church back home. I'm begging God all the time, God, let me meet some of your people that need some groceries. I'll buy them. And I say this here, if you're in here tonight, you don't have groceries next week, you go to the pastor and you tell the pastor, if he's not legitimate, he tells me, I'll buy groceries. And so, but I want rewards in heaven. The Bible said, he that hath pity upon the poor lendeth unto the Lord. And that's what you give him, God pay him again. So, that's the best interest rate that I can waste if I can get and buy some food. Because I was raised poor and hard. And I remember, Pastor, one time when I was about, 13, 14 years, that a rich man's son had a big red apple. I asked him for a bite of it. He wouldn't give me a bite of that apple. I've forgotten that. And I was just a kid. I'll feed all apples I can, whole apples to anybody I can today. And so, why? Because God saved me. He let me make some money. And money is, that's what it's for, is to help the poor people and buy buses. I bought over 100 buses and built, and send that money over there in Mexico and that. And I've got a decision. I got a goal. I want to die broke. I've had a lot of preachers that offered to help me get there, too. And so, but I'm just having the time in the world. Psalm 145, I've got to take a text here a little bit. I want to get done. I haven't got to the message. There's a lot I'd like to share. I didn't know what I was going to say. It's all impromptu, but it's all good, I think. And so, Psalm 145. Now, I've already challenged you and told you, there's no reason why the same God that loves me loves you. We're all on the same level. But what you get out of God, you have to work for it. God's no pushover. You can't say, I'm a Christian now. I'm just going to sit here today. No, Lord, you send some money, put a money tree out there. Let me go out and pull some money every day. It don't work like that. The Bible says if you don't work, you shouldn't eat. Now, there's some exceptions to the case, a physical problem. But lazy. You know God doesn't use lazy people? You know, you think pastoring is an easy thing. It's not. It's not. And so, there's 12 and 15 hour days in front of us. Boy, I wouldn't want your job. I have to speak 3 different messages every week. And so, but when God calls a man, he equips him. And so, so I've already told you here. Now, I raised 3 children. And so, 3 daughters. I told about them yesterday when they were teenagers, 15 years old, or something like that. My wife packed them a lunch. I had a lot of apartments, and they had to go. And every day they had to go and work all day long, 8 hours. They took a lunch, put in one of the empty apartments refrigerator. And they cleaned the laundry rooms and worked in the lawn, and they were blonde, long blonde hair. They come in and look like a beet. They didn't lay down and watch television. That's the worst thing you ever do. And by the way, just in case you don't know it, I'm going to say this. The Holy Spirit just reminded me of it. You know all these lewd pictures you young people and adults, you see on the television, all that filth? May I tell you that that's all filmed in a studio? May I tell you there's at least 50 people in those bedroom scenes that have been shown? They got those mics and everything within, when they're slobbering on one another, they got within 3 inches of that, and they got sound. They got men holding those sound sticks up. Room is full. That's all make-believe. It poisons your mind. I know some ladies that looked at that and said, well, that doesn't happen. My husband makes love to me. And I get, the old devil said, well, you're cheated out. And that's what it costs the affairs. Adults is not supposed to look at that. I cannot look at stuff like that. And come and send and speak to you. Because the old devil captures your mind. I'm not going to charge you for that. But they said at least 50 people in there. You know all them cars you see driving and scooting like this, you know, and they're that? They're sitting still in the studio. I've seen them do it. Film it in California. They already got that, I guess, that film, they can speed those cameras up and that. They're just sitting there. Sometimes you can watch them as they slip. You know, they look too long. I can catch it. I know it. It's all fakery. Oh, listen, don't you think the old devil can't make it look so inviting? And so with my girls now, I've raised them. They had to take a lunch. I've got money invested today for them. They work when they're teenagers. I won't tell them how much they've got for them. I'm sure not going to tell the son-in-law. And so, but I taught them to work. One of the things my daddy did, he didn't take me to church, but he taught me to work. He took me to coal mines, and I helped him. I saw how he shot coal with dynamite, and he taught me how to do that, and I knew how to shoot dynamite when I was 10 years old. Started dynamiting fish when I was 12. They're still looking for him back in Kentucky. But he taught me to work. So your faith, you should give your children a college education. Don't teach them work, you fail. Because a lot of PhDs with no JOBs. Right. Right like that. Teach them to work. So when my girls went off to college, by the way, I've always managed, I spend 30 days a year out of my town with my daughters. I've had them everywhere. I didn't want them to grow up and say, Daddy never had any time for us. He had time to make money. I know that. So I spent a lot of time. I saw them at this in church Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. And they're in church this morning, all three of them. But they're still yet done what I taught them to. I stick my finger out of my children's nose right now and let me tell you something. Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday. Give me a gun. This watch is running too fast. I stick my finger on those. Look, I had you in church Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. Your daddy, no business deal. I don't care how much money, millions, I'm making anything in the evening. On Wednesday evening, nothing's bigger than prayer meeting. I went now. I laid it down so I can tell my girls. I made God, number one. I put Bible verses on my paychecks. Hey. I put Bible verses on my stationery I sent out. Bill, you put tracks in. And I'd love to show this here when I get on the airlines. I don't wear this coat tomorrow. I pull it off. I got one of those quilted vests I put on. It get cold on there. Carolina's going away. See, I serve a great God. If a woman gets the wrong idea when she sees my jewelry, there's $150,000 there, probably. When they see that there, that puts stop signs. I serve a great God. I always get on tie. Usually the tie I had yesterday had a picture of Jesus on it. I have Christian ties. And so, I do everything I can just to magnify the Lord Jesus Christ. Our jobs is to exalt and magnify the Lord Jesus. Well, my girl went off to college. I've got to get to it within 5 minutes in. And so, then she said, I got a college money here. She said, Dad, the first year away from home, January the 20th, 1980, since I haven't had a chance to talk to you while I figured I'd write to you and let you know what's going on. First of all, exams just got over on Friday. That's the first day that you made my first exam. Everything went pretty well. It's just nice to have a little time. And she said, I was determined to have a successful first semester. Now, listen to that statement. I was determined to have a successful thing. See, there's things you've got to purpose in your life. You set goals. I was determined. About 1 month, I just stayed in my room working on projects, reading, typing, preparing for my finals. Below, I've listed my grades, and I thought I'd send them to you. Now, she worked. Personal evangelism, A. General psychology, A+. Christian womanhood, A+. Cooking, A. Old Testament, A+. Leadership, A. English, A. Dad, like you always said, work will pay off someday. While I was young, somewhere along the way, I picked it up from your mom, the way to work. I hope you and mom realize, now listen to what a classic statement this daughter's putting there. I hope you and mom realize I don't try to make these good grades for myself, but I want you to be able to be proud of me. Is that good? She made straight A's. She's the first one ever graduated from Hiles Anderson College with straight A's all the way through 4 years of college and two master's degree. Now, my other two girls, they made A's and B's, but because one makes A's, you can't be careful. Don't throw it up, the other girl. Only as long as you do your best.
Yes.
You see. And so, there's a saying that I'd like to quote, but I forgot it right now. But that, so here's what she did. She worked hard. She did because she wanted to be on the honor roll. I often tell this truth, it illustrates my thing. I said, I came home one time and my report card, I made all F's. I thought my daddy would whip me. And he said, son, I'm proud of you. So he said, I can see you didn't copy from anybody. You got character. And so I made C's myself, but I made them make A's. But we even had all out. We can only study it now. But anyway, all of that. They'll be gone. Now, King David on 145, I'm going to read just three verses here, four, and then I've got 4 or 5 minutes here. Every day I will bless thee. Look at verse 1. I will extol, that means praise, thee, my God, O King, I will bless thy name forever and ever. Every day will I bless thee and I'll praise thy name forever. That's what I do every morning. There'll be some mornings this week I'll be up at 3:30, 4:30 in the morning at the Bible. There'll be a lot of, some days this week I'll spend 5 hours or 6 in the Bible. He said, I will praise thy name forever. Look, verse 2. Great is the Lord and greatly be praised. And his greatness is uncertain. One generation shall praise thy works to another, shall declare thy mighty acts. That's what I'm doing. I'm a generation. And so you younger people, you're younger now, I'm declaring you, I'm telling you what God did through me, and he wants to do it through you, but there's a price to pay for it. See, every morning, the first person I want to talk to is God. I want to get God on my, I want to get under his umbrella. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I lift up my eyes to the hills whence cometh my help cometh from the Lord. I've got to get God on my side. And when I get God on my side, you can't touch me.
Yes, sir.
No, the devil can't get to me. God controls him. Jeremiah 1:9, it says, that's where that, God said, I'll put my words into your mouth. God, you rise early in the morning, you get God. I met God in the morning, my day was his best. You put God first, you put God. If you don't learn, know anything about me, I'm challenging you. If you don't meet God, he's be the first. I have no other gods before me. If you love your wife, your children, more than you love me, you're not worthy of me. God said that. Now, we're supposed to love our wives. But I heard an illustration like this one time, Curtis Hudson, I say, said then. If you and I was driving a car, making 20 miles an hour, and the pastor passed us here with it, making 100, we would say he passed us like we were sitting still. We were not sitting still, but compared to the way he's going. So, like that, we'd love our wives, but we compare God's love. We love Jesus more. He'd be number one. And not. And God tells us to love our wives and love their children what they do. And so, one generation shall work, praise thy work to another. That's what I'm doing. I'm telling you what God did for me. Now, not what Russell Anderson did. I can teach you something else right fast. Philippians 2:5. Let this mind be in you which is also in Christ Jesus. If I knocked on your door tomorrow night or sometime or another, it's up to you to let me in or keep me out. It's up to you to let Christ's mind in. See, this morning I went to God and I said, God, I want to be talking to those people. I don't know what to say. Now, Holy Spirit, I want you to take control of my mind. Now I want you to take God's power. I want you to fill my mind. Let me teach you something right there. I want you to fill my mind. Now my mind, I want you to tell my tongue what to say today.
Yes.
See, I ask Holy Spirit to tell me what to say this morning. I'm way off course here. Now Holy Spirit, you fill my, now God, you take the God's power, fill my mind. Now my mind, I want you to tell my tongue what to say today. My eyes what to look at. My ears what to hear. And so, I want you to do that today for me. So I've already surrendered myself, see. Then if you get God in the morning walking with God, nobody can touch you. Because I wish I could tell you the contracts that God has given people to store, that build up, they give them to me. It's amazing. I'm telling you what God did, and I'll tell you how I did it to you. I met with him first. Please, I beg you, I go on my knees and beg you, give God the first 5 minutes more to start at. Please set your alarm clock or something. Go to lot of wives go to the window. If you meet your husband up and say, God, help me to say something that encourage my husband this morning. Let him know I love him. Let him know I appreciate him. Hey, I'm working. And if both of you work, you pray for one another. Husband should go, God, help my wife today. Take care of the kids. Give her wisdom and cooking and all the cleaning. And you pray for one another. But you go to God. God, I need you. Hey, Jesus from Mark 1:35 rose a great while before day. He went out and prayed before.
Yes.
Huh? If I can just get you to do that, it's worth everything. I've got a message tonight. I'm telling you what God did. And God loves you as much as it does me. And so David, okay, I'll just tell you what. David, I'll tell you this here. I've got the quotes. Got a minute. David wanted to live his life in such a way. He had a goal. David's goal. You know what David's goal was? My daughter had a goal to make A's. My daughter had a goal to make good grades. You know what David's goal was? David had a goal that when he died, he wanted to be on God's honor roll. That's a good goal for you and I to sit in. Be on God's honor roll? Huh? Somehow or another. How do you think I got? Rising early in the morning, studying God's word and begging Him for wisdom. Our Father, I'd like to have a week just to keep talking. You've done so much. I'm telling your people. I want you, God, bless everyone in this building today and help them and thank them and bless them in such a way that let them know that you know that they got up and came to Sunday school this morning. They're your children. They love you. I want you somehow or another to remind them that you're going to bless them for what they did. And then I pray that they'll start getting up early. Well, heads bowed right fast. How many of you say, Brother, I'm going to try that in the morning. I'm going to get up. First person I'm going to talk to is God. Would you raise your hand? I'm going to set a goal. Would you say it? Hold in. I'm going to do it. Don't be ashamed. I want to meet with God first in the morning. I'm going to tell God. I want to do what Brother Anderson did. We pray your blessings now. The Lord upon the coming service. Amen.